not Chaimish who says, what's the difference? He says, Chachan Akimina, for the purposes of come later the rabbinate. The later person quotes it in the name of the Menachinuch. He says, Chachan Akimina, for the purpose of come later the rabbinate, the Haino. And let's say, I shot a bullet, and as the bullet was going to kill the other person, so it caused other damage as well. So that's a din of come later the rabbinate, I'm only Chayiv Nisa, and I don't have to pay for the Hezek. Nisa is Manazet, there's no Bezin, there's no. There's no din in the fascists at all. There's still a din of kamalei with the rabbinate. That's how it's been. The din of kamalei with the rabbinate still applies to Zanazah. But what if a person committed suicide, and in the process of committing suicide, he causes a hezek, he causes a hefset moment? Would you also say kamalei with the rabbinate? So the Minchas Chinuch says no. Because achas zimchon and achas seichem medrash is only nisi b'dei shamayim, it's not nisi b'dei odam. And although there is an opinion in the Gemara that nisi b'dei shamayim makes kamalei with the rabbinate, it's machloike is abai v'rova within Rav Nechunya ben Akonah. He says that Koris makes Kamala with the rabbinate. So the Machloek is Abai Barabbah. What would Rav Nechunya ben Akonah say with respect to Nisim Deshman? But we don't pass like Rav Nechunya ben Akonah. The whole Machloek is Abai Barabbah is irrelevant. We haven't accepted the sheep even when he gets the Koris. Koshkin when he gets the Nisim Deshman. So he says, therefore, the Menachas Chinuch says there would be no Kamala with the rabbinate. Now, by David Horowitz, is a young rabbi here in the yeshiva, getting older. He used to be young. He published an essay a long time ago, He published an essay, because I had mentioned this Minchas Chinuch a few times. He published an essay, singing Zach with the Minchas Chinuch. He thinks he has a lot of midrashim that seems to show not like the Minchas Chinuch. That if a person commits suicide, it's mamish included in the Sirtzach, it's not that it's a separate prohibition. It would be Mitzvah Bezin as well, and it should become Levi Derabni. Okay, this is the question. But I had a suggestion, if the Minchas Chinuch is right, maybe you can understand the Medrash that has the comment that the Eishiyot quotes this in Yeridaya in the Berak HaBayis. If you have a look in the Beis Yosef, the Beis Yosef is printed on Shulchan Aruch. Beis Yosef is always printed in a Rashi script, and every couple of pages they have something printed in bold letters in square and Oysis Mubos in square letters instead of Rashi script, and always says Beis Hay. That means Berak HaBayis. I mean the footnotes that he added, I think the next edition. After the first edition of the Beit Yosef came out, I think after he finished writing the Beit Yosef, so he added on these additional comments in the Berak HaBayis. In the Berak HaBayis, he has, and here today, it's in the Kuf Nizayin, it's in about Yehar Gval Yabba, where it discusses a little bit Ritzicha. So he says that the Medrash Tanchuma says on this pasuk, Zimchem Menashe Seich Medrash, one is not permitted to commit suicide. Yochol Kishaul, maybe like Shaul HaMelech was in a circumstance that he was afraid that the Plishtim were going to torture him to death, and then he committed suicide. So one might think that Shaul did wrong by committing suicide, because he's not allowed to. Hamalayma Ach, whenever it says Ach, it's a miyut. That means that there are cases where the prohibition of suicide doesn't apply. This is very relevant during the Second World War. Many people were terrified that the Nazis were going to torture them to death. They didn't want to die from torture, so they committed suicide. So the shaila was it mutar or was it asa? So they quote this Berak HaBayis of the Beit Yosef that it's mutar, but others are not so convinced that we should pass like the Berak HaBayis of Shalom Aloha, whether that's accepted Ledin or not. The Shaul did right, but the Shaul not do right. So how is one to understand this din that suicide is mutar in order to spare oneself from extreme suffering and pain at the hands of the enemy? So I thought it could be explained as follows. It's a little bit humorous, but I don't think it's so humorous. The din is that because nefesh is decha kolata rukula ksefer avod is orgi ilarayt and shvich hazdamer. So if the din would be that suicide is included in lois yirtzok, then there's no head to because nefesh. You're not allowed to do suicide b'shem because nefesh. It's such a thing would be feasible. Because nefesh should be master suicide. But if suicide is a different issue, it's like eating chazer. It's like a different avera. But then just like kikoch nefesh is matzah Shabbos and matzah eating on Yom Kippur, so it's matzah suicide as well. According to the Menachas Chinuch, it's not identical. Suicide is not identical with the issue of lois yirtzok. It's a separate issue. And now the question is, yeah, but how can you have a case where he's doing kikoch nefesh, he's doing the suicide b'shem kikoch nefesh? So the Gemara has in the third perek in Ksubas a statement. If they would have tortured Hanani Mishal Bazaria, they would have broken their spirits and they would have worshipped, they would have bowed down to the Selim. So Taisus says, Bakasha, how would they allow to bow down to the Selim? There's no Hetzer. What do you mean if they would have tortured them, they would have given it? So So some of us are saying, no, not that they would have made up stock up if he tortured them, so you just don't have chiruch hashis anymore. In the Korean War, I think it was. No, which war did they found out that they tortured the American soldiers long enough until they gave out all the secrets. It wasn't possible physically, mentally, psychologically. It wasn't possible to withstand so much torture. They'll hold a gun up to your head. They say, tell us the secrets that will shoot you. So the person is most nefesh for his country and he gives up his life, they shoot him. But if they keep on torturing you, torture every day, they torture you. So they break you psychologically. So you have to give in. There's no more chiruch hashis. So pashup shat in the Gemara doesn't mean that it would have been halachically permissible to bow down to the tzelah. Molly Nogdu, they would have tortured them, so they would have broken their resistance and they would have given in. But the Taisus didn't understand like that. Taisus understood them. Molly Nogdu, if they would have beaten them every day, so they would have been permitted to bow down to the tzelah. How could it be Aita Avedizor? Taisus said, nah, it's not really Avedizor. I said, why were they Maitan Nefesh? It was the thing Yeshua said them. They weren't really Mechuyf, so it's Achidish what Taisus said. And the Shidim Kubekas on that Gemara has a different suggestion, and he says that even though Pikuach Nefesh is not Derech Avodah Zarah, that's if it's a one-shot decision. They said, they hold up a gun to your head, they say, either bow down to the idol or we're going to shoot you. So you're supposed to give up your life and not bow down to the idol. Not worship Avodah Zarah. What if you know there's going to be a prolonged torture? Every day they're going to torture you. Every day they're going to tell you they worship Avodah Zarah. So the Shitim Kubetzis has one opinion that Atke Dekach, you're not Mechuyif. There's one view that you're not Mechuyif to suffer, that it's then in such a case, it's better than Pikuach Nefesh, and that's even Mater Avodah Zarah. That's even Mater Avodah Zarah. But Yosef Engel has a tshuva, and he has a Heter Aguna, and one of his Aitus Yosef has a tshuva about a Heter Aguna, where he wants to interpret Yerushalmi not like that Shitim Kubetzis, wants to interpret that prolonged pain is considered the equivalent of Pikuach Nefesh. Not that it's better than Pikuach Nefesh, but it's equivalent of Pikuach Nefesh. Even though the person's life is not in danger, there's no chance that they're going to kill him. But to spare himself from extreme suffering, that's the equivalent of Pikuach Nefesh. That would also be Matir, all Averis except for Avodah Zarah, Gilui Aris, and Shefichat Damim. And Yerushalmi has an interesting question. A husband, let's say, is missing. A woman is married, the husband is missing. So there's a din of leisinim. She's not allowed to live with anybody else. But if she's going to live in misery, the poor woman is going to be an aguna. So she doesn't have a husband, she can't go marry anybody else. So why don't you say Pikuach Nefesh, you're going to allow her, she's going to lead a life of misery. So Yerushalmi says, if it would have been a different Avera, it would have taken the Mutter, because we're dealing with Loisinah. So Loisinah is one of the Gimel Averas HaHamur. So extreme pain, psychological pain, is not a Matir. But it sounds like Yerushalmi, if it would have been any other Avera, other than Avodah Zarah Gilui Aris Shechitam, would have been Mutter. That's what it sounds like. That extreme psychological anguish is the equivalent of the Kochness. So it could be that that's what this Medrash Tanchuma is driving at. That's if it's Yosef quoted in the Berakha Bais. So let's say a person knows that they're going to torture him to death. And rather than suffer at the hands of the enemy torturing him to death, he'd rather put his life to an end. He'd rather commit suicide. So in that case, the Kochnessish is the Yosef of suicide. If you should say that that has the same head of the Kochnessish. In order to save oneself from extreme suffering and pain, that's called Pikuach Nefesh. He's allowed to commit suicide, he shouldn't be Pikuach Nefesh. Sounds a little funny, but it could be that that's shot and that banished Malchum. Anyway, it's a question in the Pesukim whether that Berakha Bais, whether that comment from the Medrash Tanchum is accepted halacha lemaisa or not. Machlekes in the later, during the war years, during the Second World War, that was a big machlekes among the Rabbanu, whether we pass them like that Berakha Bais or not. Plus it says that when HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Noach about the keshes, so he said to him, Zos o sabris. The Rashi comments, Herehu hakeshes. HaKadosh Baruch Hu showed him the rainbow in the sky. It's in chapter 10, Pasuk Yud Beis, and it's repeated again, Pasuk Yud Zayin. Zos o sabris. The Rashi says, Herehu, how does he know? So then it says, because the Gemara says in Menachos, whenever it says there or Zos, it means B'zeh ma'aseh ha'menorah. Or it says, HaKadosh Hazeh Lachem Rosh Chodosh. Or Zot HaPeim HaShet HaKhelu. So the Gemara says in Menachos, on Daf Chav Tes, whenever it says, Zeh or Zot, it means HaKadosh Baruch Hu showed it to Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu showed it to Bnei Yisrael. Zeh or Zot means something that you're demonstrating, visually. So here it says, Zot Zot HaBris. It means that he showed him the Hereyu HaKeshes. He showed him the Keshes. And he said, this is Rashi has a comment also from the Medrash. The Daros Olam, Why is the Rosh Hashanah in Pasuk Yud-Bei written Chatzer? Vav, how come it's Chatzer? So the Medrash says, the Gemara will often darshan Chatzeres. The Gemara darshan is why a word is sometimes written Mole, sometimes written Chatzer. It's also the Midrash HaTorah and the Drash HaTorah once in a while in the Gemara. Gemara speaks about Naira, Mole, and Naira, Chatzer, and other drashas like that based on Mole and Chatzer. Even in Agadita. The Rashi says there are some generations, a few, not so many, there's some generations where there are such outstanding tzaddikim that you don't need the keshes, you don't need the prophet of the Rav Shalom that's not going to destroy the whole generation. And the exclusive of that tzaddik is not going to destroy the generation. That tzaddik would be Megan on Holdor. But Rashi mentions some Rashi only mentions the two. The Rav Shalom Chizkiyol, Melech Yudav, Delekei, Rav Shin, and Bal Yechoy. The Medrash mentions six and says that that's why it's missing two vav. Missing a vav to imply chaser, and it's missing the second vav, chaser vav. It's missing. There were six generations in the history of the world that they didn't need the keshes because they were unusual tzaddikim. So one of the generations that Rashi didn't mention, which the Medrash mentions, is also mentioned in the Gemara Ketubos, in the generation of Rabbi Shua ben Levi. That he was such a tzaddik when he passed away. So the Gemara says, in heaven they announced that Bar Livoi is coming. Rabbi Shua ben Levi Bar Livoi is coming. So when he came to heaven, so they asked them, the angels asked them, Zirasa Hakeshes Biyamecha. They wanted to test to find out how great a tzaddik he was. So they struck up a conversation with him. So they asked him, how things doing over there? Zirasa Hakeshes, did you ever see a rainbow? He said, sure, he saw a rainbow. So he said, so then the angel said, so not the holy tzaddik that said that they cracked you up to be. We thought Neo there, such a great tzaddik, that in his generation it won't be necessary to have the rainbow appear. The guy tells us, sure, he knows about a rainbow. He saw a rainbow many times and never rained. He saw a rainbow. So obviously he's not such a great tzaddik. And even during his lifetime, they also needed the statement of the Keshe. So then the Gemara has a comment. The Gemara says, truth of the matter was, he never saw a rainbow. During his lifetime, he was one of the six generations mentioned by the Medrash that the rainbow never appeared because he was the tzaddik. But he didn't want to pray. So when they asked him, nearest HaKesh in the Mech, he made believe, yes, made believe there was a Kesh. So that's quoted in the Shulchan Aruch, that a person should never brag about how great he is. And even if they ask you, let's say, Bahab, they ask, are you fasting today? So they should say, you're not fasting. Unless they need the tassas, unless they need a minion, the shanim, in order to lay by chal, or something like that. So they ask you, are you fasting? And they need it, so then you tell them, yeah, you can count on me, I'm also fasting. But if they're not laning anyway, what's the guy writing an almanac? He's writing an encyclopedia, I said, no. So that you should tell him, I'm not this. You should tell a lie and say, I'm not this. When it comes to Midas Chassidus, which is none of anybody else's business, so you're supposed to tell a lie. Right, so that's the exception to the rule. It says in Shulchan Aruch that when a person donates money, he should also not advertise it. But we put on the wall, donated by so-and-so, on all the walls we put on, in order to encourage other people, the people who gave the money are not so wealthy, the Paleah family. They weren't wealthy people. And nonetheless, they gave money to the yeshiva. So the people who are equally wealthy or more wealthy, should call the chaimer, they should give more money. So it says in Shulchan Aruch, they quote the Chuvas and Rashba, that Mefarsin in Osei Mitzvah. That you have to be mefarsim, the people who are giving significant donations and so on. That's why you write on the parochas, this was donated by so-and-so. But so-and-so's not so rich, and he donated on a parochas, so we can also donate a parochas. So that's an exception to the rule. It says that if by letting other people know, your midas chassidus is going to encourage them also to do the same. So then you do it, by all means, then you do it. A rainbow is a sin of klala, that is correct. You say a bracha, right, but let's say I come in and I you're not supposed to come tell people that somebody died, you're not supposed to tell bad news, so it says included in bad news, and you're not allowed to tell anyone that there's a rainbow outside, even if your interest is to some people they should come outside and say a bracha, because they never said that bracha before. So it says in Mishnah Berurah, it says even if that's your intention, to be mezakeh them with a bracha, you're not supposed to tell. You shouldn't tell people the bad news that there's a rainbow in the sky. Why exactly is the rainbow the simon, the os habris, v'niyah ben ha'oretz? Different mefarshim have different shot. The Ramban says the pasuk pshat, that when you have a bow and you're shooting an arrow, so the you have the wood is like this, and the string is like this, and you pull the string, and then it shoots. The arrow goes from the wooden cloth, and it goes by them. So the Baruch Shalom puts the bow up towards heaven to show that he doesn't have the bow facing up. He's not going to shoot anymore. Not shooting anymore out. That's why it's called a keshes. The Keshis is a bow, the same kind of bow that you shoot arrows with. So the Keshis is facing heaven, facing upwards, instead of facing downwards, to indicate that Rabbi Shalom is not interested in shooting any more arrows at the earth. Ramban has a whole discussion. Is this based on physics? The appearance of the rainbow is based on physics. It should have been for Sheshis made Breshis. And when it rains, and there's a cloud after, and the sun comes out, it should always be a rainbow. So what, something changed after the marble? It wasn't there from before. So I'm a first and said it changed. Ramban says it didn't change. Physics was physics. The Sheshis made Breshis didn't change. So he says, no, there was always a rainbow. But it never meant anything. Now the Ramban Shlom said, you see that rainbow? You should take it as a sign that the bow is up, it's not facing down anymore. He just latched on significance to that physical rainbow that was always there. But it's not that it only began after the marble. I think in Navi Yechezkel it implies that the Marek Vod Hashem somehow appearing from the rainbow. So if you look at the Keshes, it's as if you're nashing from the Ziv Ashkina or something like that. Yeah. I don't know what it means. How can it be? Yeah. I don't know. If it's a physical thing that always has to appear, so why did the Medrash state that there were six generations? I don't know if it's a defender or the Rabbani Shalom thought to it that it should never rain with all of the prerequisites. It should never happen that there should appear a rainbow to show that they are such tradition that they don't need any rainbow in this generation. I don't know. There will always be a rainbow if you have all these conditions. If you're missing some of the conditions, then you won't have the rainbow. So you always thought to it that the conditions should not be met in order that everyone should realize that they have this course of these studies. The Torah tells about the story of Noach with the children. He got drunk. What did he get drunk about? So the Rishonim say, there is a Gemara Sanhedrin Daf Ayin, where the Gemara says, "Vaniver Yain Ela Lenachin Boyetu Avelim." When you give a Sudas Avroh, you're supposed to give Yain. That the Avelim are a little bit tense and a little bit upset over the loss of a relative, so you have to give them a little schnapps, give them a little bit of wine. Not that they should get drunk, but they should relax their tension. They should relax the tension, but it has to be with a proper degree. So what Noach did was the proper thing. The whole world was just destroyed. So he wanted to have a little drink. So he made a caram and he got a drink. But he did it in excess. Whatever you do in excess is wrong. So he got drunk and he became undressed and got some sugar. But that was certainly an excess. So that was a disaster. But the beginning, the hakol of what he did, was correct. He wanted to have wine in order to relax his tension. There's nothing wrong with that. You have to lead a life of tension all the time. You're not mixed with to be tested. You're allowed to relax also. The person says that he gave a blessing to Yeses, and the main blessing he gave was to Shem. Yeses kim li Yeses. However, the Yishkan be Ohal Shem. The Shkin should be an Ohal Shem. That's by the Klal Yisrael. But Yeses kim li Yeses. The beauty of Yeses should be brought into the Beis Hamikdash. Yeses kim li Yeses. The Gemara in the first paragraph of Megillah quotes this. A connection with the din that we have accepted malacha, that it's not proper to write the Tanakh in translation in any language other than Yevonis, other than the fancy Yevonis. The Rambam writes, we don't have that Yevonis anymore. The Greek that we have today is Ashrach Yevonis, it's an imitation, it's a fake, it's not the real McCoy. Like the Satmar Rebbe wrote about modern Hebrew. He said, that's not the Loshon HaKodesh, that's the Ivrit. He doesn't think that's the real Loshon HaKodesh. Because the Rambam writes the same about the real Greek as opposed to the Greek during his time. So the real Greek, that's what the Mishnah says, Yafel, Kimli Yafes, that you're permitted to take the Greek script and write the Sefer Torah in Greek. Years ago, these Sefer Torah that were written in Greek and these in Kriyas HaTorah. In the 1500s, there was a Rav in Constantinople, Maharitai Tatsat, they call him the Maritat. Maharitat. There was another Maharitat, so Ben Yontov Sahalon, he was someone else. He lived in Tzfat, a little after the Beit Yosef. That was a different Maharitat. But this one lived in, on the same time. They lived in Maharitai Tatsat, lived in Constantinople. So he writes in his shulchan that they had a practice on Yom Kippur to Ne'ilah, they laid Master Yonah from a Greek club to retain the minhag, that everybody should remember that you're allowed to write the Kisya Kodesh in Yevonis. No, I think it was translated. Translated, yeah. Into Greek. Yeah, I don't know. Maybe they wrote it in the ancient Greek. I don't know. I'm not sure. But it's because of this Mishnah Megillah that there is a minority opinion that a get can only be written either in Ksav Ashuris or in Greek, and we don't recognize any other script. And on Ksiva the Shabbos, there is a minority opinion in Rishonim that the Malach of Ksiva Shabbos only violated if you write either in Ksav Ashuris or in Greek alphabet. And if you write in any other alphabet, Allah doesn't recognize the other. And most of the Rishonim don't accept that opinion. They say that it's just not true. That all alphabets are considered Ksav. In fact, we pass like the Rama, that even if you make a picture, if you draw a picture, that's also a solda of Kaisik. Roshim is a solda of Kosim. Let's say you make a fingerprint. So we assume, according to the Rambam, that it's also told us, because, let's say, when your wife has a baby, so they tell her to make a fingerprint and then take the baby's footprint. So she tells, she has a baby on Shabbos, she shouldn't let them make a fingerprint. So she says, come after Abdullah, she'll be happy to make a fingerprint. You're not allowed to make a fingerprint on Shabbos. It's a malacha of Ksiva. And the Rambam writes that it's a malacha derai. It's told us, cursed, to make any picture. So how can you say they're writing in other languages is only the Rambam? If you hold that drawing a picture is not included, only writing letters, so then you can say which letters are which alphabet. If you write, if you hold that anything that conveys a message, any picture is Caesar. How can you say that English is not Caesar? Why, pictures worth more than 1,000 words. If you write 5,000 words in English, then you are higher. How can it be? If you hold a picture is high, so English is also high. If you hold a picture is not high, you hold like Rashi, pictures are not high, Russian is not higher. But then, then the Shaitava Machlech, and then also the Mishnah Berurah and the Aruch HaShulchan are very upset about this. They say that we don't accept this opinion. They say it's a minority opinion. As far as spoken languages, which spoken languages are recognized by the Halacha, so the Pashtus is, let's say, Kriya Shema Ne'emeret B'chol Oshon. You can say Kriya Shema in translation in any language. Kiddush, Avdolah, Shema Ne'esen, so on and so forth. Real mitzvahs are right there. Because Amos, you can be Yotze in any language you want. So does the halacha distinguish between one language and another? Does some are officially recognized languages? The Pashtus is all languages are accepted. One of the Gedolim had a nine father, Ephraim Zalman Margolius, made a suggestion that maybe only the Shivim Lashon, the official 70 languages that were developed on the occasion of the Migdal Bavel. They wanted to build a tower and go up to heaven, and the Ribbono Shel Olam didn't let them do it. And when they started off, everything was Safa Achas Mekulam, they all had one language, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu caused the Navla Sham Sotam, he confused all the languages, and at that time, the Shivim Lashon was developed. So Rabbi Chaim Zalman Margolius makes a suggestion, maybe the Halacha only recognizes those 70 languages that were in existence at the time of Migdal Bavel, and he says, the Melech, you say, davening in Yiddish, or in German, or in any other language from the 1800s when he lived, he says he won't be Yotze. Because those are not officially recognized languages, only the languages from the Migdal Bavel. So it's quite an original idea. I don't think anybody else ever came up with such an idea. He was an original thinker. I don't think we passed on that. The Yerushalmi, at the beginning of Nozir, that's quoted by the Orach Misha, on the first daf, on the first Mishnah of Nozir, that if a guy says, when I say potatoes, I mean onions, and when I say yes, I mean no, and then the guy says, you got it straight? And he says, I'm taking a nether, that I will eat the potato. So based on the dictionary that I just gave, it means that I will not eat onions. He just says, when I say potatoes, I mean onions, when I say yes, I mean no. And then he says, I take a nether that I will eat the potatoes. That means he says, I will not eat the onions. So the dinner is that he's not allowed to eat the onions. The Mamzi makes up his own language. It's not a language that's recognized by anybody. It's quite a chiddush. So others don't accept the Yerushalmi. When you don't accept the Yerushalmi, others that ignore that Yerushalmi, I don't know how they ignore the Yerushalmi. Others ignore that Yerushalmi. They say, no, language has to be spoken by a group of people. They're just mistook. How many people have to speak the language? What if you have a desert island, and there are only 2,000 inhabitants on the whole island? They have their own language. Nobody else in the world speaks that language. That's enough. 2,000 people, they need Shishim Ribo. They need a million. How many people? What's the minimum number? A million, 10 people, 100 people. What's the minimum number of people that you need to speak the language that it should be recognized as a spoken language? Shalmi says there is no minimum. A guy makes up his own language, and it's also a language. Levati Bislasam is also considered a Nezer Shavua and Nezirut. On the assumption that you don't accept the Yerushalmi, so that's a Rebbevela. And the Shiurim on the first Mishnah Nazir is quoted as having been Sufik. How many people have to speak the language that should be recognized as a language? But to say that it has to be from the Shiurim Lashon, that's quite an original Chiddush. The Mashgiach in Yeshiva, Zechan Lebracha, was very fond of quoting the Medrash on the Pasuk, Vayered Hashem Liritzis Amigdal Shevonu B'nei HaAdam. But the Medrash says, Amada B'nei HaAdam, the descendants from Adam HaRishon, are human beings. This is called Tatech B'nei HaMorim. Who then built the Migdal? Of course the people built it. That's the whole context of the story. So the Medrash says, no, the descendants of Adam HaRishon, Adam HaRishon was a Kofri Tzoyver, after he sinned with the Eitz HaDaat, the Baruch Shalom said, what did you do? They should have said, Hashem Nebagam, they should have said, Achei Shechaton Lefanecha, I made a mistake, I sinned. So he pins the blame on the Rabbi Shalom, he says, Risha Shemesatei Mori, he knows not leave Oichel. Not only does he accept the responsibility for violating the Avera, he gets angry, Adam HaRishon pours out his anger at the Rabbi Shalom, it's all your fault, you gave me this miserable wife. Rabbi Shalom gave him a wonderful wife, he's a kinegdo, to help him out. He was an idiot. He should have told Chava clearly what the din is. He told Chava he's not allowed to touch Eitz HaDaat. He was an idiot. It was all his fault. So instead of admitting that he made a mistake, Tadam Marishan is coffee, Tavit HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and he says, Rishon Shenasati Imadi, he's not happy about the Matan HaTavit that the Rabban Shalom gave him. So that's what the Medrash says. If a person is a coffee Tavit, then he will lose his emunah in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. They wanted to make a Migdol to fight against the Rabban Shalom, Ashifan Bnei Adam, the descendants of Adam Rishon, because he was a Kafir Taiva, so that's why they didn't have Emunah. If a person has the Midah Taiva of being Makah Taiva, this is Mechazik one's Emunah. And that's one of the major themes that appears in the Chayvus HaZavos. He says that the theme of many of the mitzvahs in the Torah are to demonstrate that a person is a Makah Taiva to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It is not a Kafir Taiva that you should give the Rabban Shalom Truma, and Tidyan HaPen, and if you give all the matanas, it's Bikurim, Rashi writes on the parashat, Bikurim, Shein Chagalti Al Hashem HaKecha, Shein any Kofi Taiva. So the Chavis HaVavis chazes this idea. He says, Emunah is a very tricky thing. If a person has the Midah Taiva being a Makah Taiva, so then this will lead to him having Emunah in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He'll be Makah Taiva to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, did him all the time. If a person is rough and gruff personality, and he's not a Makah Taiva, so it's easier for him to forget about the Rabban Shalom. So that's the theme of this. There's such a medrash by power also. How does it say? Bayok Malachadosh Hamasham Hashem Lo Yadet Yosef. So that Malachadosh Hashem Lo Yadet. What do you mean Lo Yadet says? We didn't know history. Yosef, it wasn't 1,000 years before. Yosef just saved the whole country. Lo Yadet Yosef means he didn't care to be Makat Tavit to Yosef. So because he said Lo Yadet Yosef, he wasn't the Makat Tavit to Yosef. And to the Jewish people, that Yosef represented the Jews, that's what it says. When Moshe Rabbeinu came and he says, in the name of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you should let the name go through, so he says, Lo Yadayti Es Hashem. The same verb is used. The Medrash points out, Lo Yadayti Es Yosef and Lo Yadayti Es Hashem. If you're not Makir Tayyib to a boss of Adam, so then you'll lose your Emunah in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Mashgiach, the Ram Baruch always used to say over this Medrash, B'nei HaAdam and B'nei HaMoirim, that we have to develop the Midas Tayyib. A lot of times there's a connection between Midas Tayyib and Hashkafa. They're not always separate. Chazanish also writes about that. So we need to say this often help in learning. Sometimes there's a daka zikasvara, that if a person is not attuned, the person doesn't have a gabita midas, a lot of times he will not be able to appreciate the certain daka zikasvara. Sometimes the svaras are so daka zik that it cannot be ethereal. But we're not talking about such thin, flimsy svaras. We're talking about the fine svaras. But sometimes a daka zikasvara needs a daka zik nishama to appreciate it. So he says a person better work on his midas in order to be matzliach more in learning, to see darker zikah things in learning. Rabbi Lessen, this was one of the recurring themes he would speak about with the Hakoras HaTeiv, and he would always mention this medrash, Hashavana B'nei Ha'adam. He just wanted to close with a line from today's Haftarah. The Nabi says, just like HaKadosh Baruch Hu swore that he would never destroy the whole world again with a Mabul, he swore, when did he swear the Brit? The Brit is a Shvur. Rambam says, no, whenever there's a Brit, it means a Shvur. The Shvur means I'll cop on it, even if you don't deserve it. The Bunch one made a Brit, and that's all. Kein Nishbati, so HaKadosh Baruch Hu swore, means he made a Brit. He's not going to get angry at the Jewish people. He's not going to scream at us at all.
He gets angry a little bit. He gets angry a little bit. He gets angry a little bit. But then, he really loves us. Any sorrows that the B'nai Yisrael suffer are temporary and it's really mitzvah. The whole world might collapse. The mountains can collapse. And the small hills can melt away. In other words, there can be major changes in the world, but the Rebbe Shalom is not going to budge from this. The Rebbe Shalom made a bit of the angel he loves us. We suffer in different generations. We suffer, but we're supposed to believe that it's Lutayva. I was just at a bit this morning. So after a bit, the baby was crying. The little baby didn't understand there's nothing to cry. The mother was holding him. Everybody loves the kid. The mother didn't butcher him up. The mother did a good job. Everybody loves the baby. They're carrying around on a pillow. The kid didn't know. No one heard of him. He didn't feel anything. The nervous system was not even developed sufficiently that he should even feel that anything happened. Just felt that they were touching him, that's all. If he was touching, he would start crying. He was crying for nothing. But the B'nai Yisrael also, we're crying. Things are terrible. To us, it seems that things are terrible. But we're supposed to believe that everything is with Tayyip. There's only going to interpret the Gemara in Sukkah. The Gemara says in Sukkah that there's a concept of Mashiach ben Yosef, that before Mashiach comes, the real Mashiach is going to be Mashiach ben David, is going to be a Mashiach ben Yosef. So what is that all about? The Gemara doesn't explain what it means. So the Vilna Gaon is quoted by his Talmidim as having said that when the brothers met Yosef after so many years, they didn't recognize him. He recognized them, but they didn't recognize him. They didn't recognize Yosef. So he says that's what it means, Mashiach ben Yosef, that right before Mashiach comes, things are going to be happening, and the B'nai Yisrael are going to think, whoa, Mashiach is further away than ever before. It doesn't look like he's coming at all. It's going to be the Heim Lahikiru. So he said, that's what it means, Mashiach ben Yosef. It won't be such a logical progression. It won't be so obvious. Oh, Mashiach is on his way. You can tell. Next step is going to be this. We will never be able to guess when Mashiach is coming. Like the Gemara has the Medrash, has such an expression, Mashiach only comes to Hesach Adad. And everybody has given up hope, and you think that it's impossible. It doesn't look right at all for the Mashiach to come. The Gemara in the end of Sanhedrin has an expression that Mashiach is al Pischa Shel Romi. Mashiach, one of the Chachamim went to Pischa Shel Romi to see Mashiach. What's he going to Pischa Shel Romi? So the Mefarshim say on the Gemara, in the most unlikely place, Mashiach al Pischa Shel Romi. It's the same as Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu was the Goyal at the time of the Pischa Shel Romi. Where did he come from? From outer space, from Eretz Midyan. There was a Jew who was hiding there in Eretz Midian. He was there for so long. They already forgot that he existed. All of a sudden, the Goyal came from Eretz Midian to Eretz Yisrael. And he did the Gula. So the same thing, when Mashiach comes, it will be the most unlikely thing, the most unlikely person. No one, in fact, the Pasuk says, Semach Shmo Mitach Tov Yitzmach, a Pasuk in Treyosa, I think. It will be Fununta Derech, he's going to come from nowhere. Mitach Tov Yitzmach, there's going to be a guy who was, the Rambam writes in the Gerasim, it will be an unknown figure. Mashiach will be an unknown figure. And no one will have heard of him from before. That's why they don't think that the Lubavitcher Rebbe is qualified to be the Mashiach. He's a little too popular. His pictures are all over the whole world. I can think. I'm right that the tradition has going to be Mitzach of Yitzman. It's going to be a guy no one ever heard of him before. The most unlikely figure is going to be the Mashiach. It's going to come at the most unlikely time. So we shouldn't despair. We shouldn't think that everything is going wrong. In the Medrash, when Yosef is missing for a long time, and then they took Shimon, Yeser Asel Yenayim. So Yankov Avinu complains. So then the message came back. The brothers came back and said, "You got to send Binyamin. Send Binyamin." So he says, "What are you doing? Yosef and then Shimon and then Alai, how you come on?" He starts to cry. Yosef is missing and Shimon is missing. So the message has a comment. Yosef is missing. Yosef is the prime minister of all this. Shimon is missing. By Yasser Osir Yanehim, Rashi goes to she put him in jail just as they were there. The minute that they left, they let him free, go do whatever you want. Yosef is Yeshna, and Shimon is Yeshna. No one is missing, everybody is there. But Yankov Avinu's perception was that the whole world was crumbling on him. A lot of times you have the feeling that the whole world is crumbling. It's not crumbling, the Rabbanu Shalom, the Mashiach is going to come to Hesar Adas, and this is that the Zabchina of Mashiach ben Yosef, that the build-up till the coming of Mashiach is going to be in such a way that it's going to be the Heim Lahikiru. We won't see what's happening, but the Rabbanu Shalom promised that that all of the Shechter's cats are distracted from I rega mimech. He gets angry, rega. But it's not going to be for too long.
later maybe. Does anybody want to say something?